You are listening to Faith Church's sermon from this week. We are a church that is committed to loving Jesus for life and loving others to life. We hope that this message encourages you to follow Jesus with your whole heart.
But you can turn in your Bibles, those of you that are staying. Woo, I got that out quickly. You can turn in your Bibles to Matthew 13 today. There's a different setup up here. I want you to know, those of you that help vacuum around here, I want you to know there is a very big tarp up here. So when you see me do some actions today, don't worry. I covered myself already. So in Matthew 13, there's this interesting story about Jesus. Jesus tells the story about a parable of the sower. And what I wanted to do today was I wanted to continue in our sermon series on more than words and look at what soil are you. And there was this one thing that came out in my studies, and we're going to get to it at the end of the message, but I kind of want to pique your interest now. I was reading a book by E.M. Bounds this past week, and just sitting in my office contemplating a lot of things, praying, and E.M. Bounds writes a lot on prayer. And one Pastoral Appreciation Month, I got this book from a chaplain of a local senior citizen place, and he gave me this book, and it was on E.M. Bounds and prayer, and it was all of E.M. Bounds' books of prayer put together. And I was reading it, and he mentions the parable of the sower, and I didn't know he mentioned that when I started to read it. And he says something about the parable of the sower, and it's so powerful that I thought, we got to deal with that this week. We got to look at this and really dive into it, because the reality is that I think we miss a lot by not seeing this. So I want to give you some background. It's all on your sermon outline in your bulletins, but here's the background information that you need to know. In much of chapter 12, Jesus is teaching in a house. Now, many people believe he was in Peter's house. And so Jesus leaves the house mentioned above to go to the lake. The crowds are huge that day, so Jesus gets into a boat. And what you need to understand is that he gets into a boat, he goes away from land a little bit, he starts to teach this parable. But he teaches it in an amphitheater. So it's like God's creation, it's God's first microphone, basically. He doesn't need to wear one. He has this amphitheater, so everything he says is bouncing off the walls around them as he's teaching them. No one can say, I couldn't hear him today. And he was probably at least just short of a half a mile off a shore, according to what we know from history. So he's probably a half a mile off a shore, and he's teaching, and they're hearing everything, and the crowd is huge. It's elbow to elbow. There is no more room for anyone else. And so he breaks into this parable of the sower, and he begins to look at some things. And he begins the parable in Matthew chapter 3, chapter 13, verse 3. And many scholars say to focus on the sower when you read this passage of Scripture. I don't want you to do that so much. I just want you to hear the story for what the story is. And so I'm going to pick up in verse 3 here in Matthew chapter 13, and I'm going to read it. If I can make this out, I chose my very small print Bible here this morning, but we will make it work. Here it is. A farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some seeds fell on the footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on the shallow soil with underlying rock. The plants sprang up quickly, but they soon wilted beneath the hot sun and died because the roots had no nourishment to the shallow soil. I want to stop right there. So Jesus starts this parable, and he starts talking about the parable of the sower, and he starts to say that he started to spread seed. And what we picture is this guy who's kind of going along, and he's kind of like digging a hole, and he's dropping seed into the hole, and he's putting dirt over top of it, and he's watering it, and he continues to just go along, and he just drops seed, and just drop seed and drop seed. But here's what really happened on that day, and you know, Rick and Sue, I can't promise you you're not going to get hit with grass seed today, but he would start going like this, and he would just start throwing the grass seed all over the place. It's not, it really wasn't grass seed for him, but it is grass seed for me because that's the only seed I had in my garage. So we just, this is what we get a picture of. The farmer's just going through the farm field, just kind of tossing seed over and over again. And Jesus starts off with his soil. And he says, some of the seeds fell on what I call, or let me go back. There's two questions that we need to answer this morning, and here's what they are. What kind of soil are you? And what makes the difference in the soils? I want you to think about that, and we're kind of rewinding because I jumped ahead of my notes, but we're kind of rewinding, and I want you to think about that as I go through what I'm about to go through today. What kind of soil are you? Not what kind of soil is the church. Now, what kind of soil is your small group, your connection group? What kind of soil is the small group that you attend when there is small groups? I don't want you to answer that. I want you to answer what kind of soil are you? And then I want you to see at the end of this message, we're going to answer that second question. We're going to answer what makes the difference in the soils? Why is there differences in the soils? And I'll talk about that. So Jesus is talking about this farmer, let's go on here, and he's talking about this farmer spreading seed. Again, we saw how he does that, and he just kind of throws it everywhere, and he hopes for the best, and he begins to spread his seed. And the first soil that we come upon in your sermon outline is this, the path soil. And here's what it says in the New International Version. I just read from the New Living Translation. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell among the path, and the birds came up and ate it. And so what he's talking about is this path. And if you can picture the tarp that's up here, and you probably, many of you may not be able to see it, but if that's the path, people are walking over it all the time. It would be like me planting a garden in the back and Serenity and Freddie deciding that that's going to be their playground, my garden. So they're going to walk around on top of all of my seeds. They're going to pound down the ground. And guess what's going to happen? Nothing's going to grow because they've been walking all over it. And so the farmer comes, and the farmer's spreading seed, and Jesus tells this story, and he says, listen, there's some seed that fall on the path soil. And what happens is that their hearts are so hard that it just lays there. It never makes an indent into the ground because it's too hard, because people have been walking on it for years. And then what happens is the birds come down, and you know, the scholars believe that what he's talking about is that it doesn't take a grasp, and so the devil comes and snatches it away from the path. The birds begin to just start eating it because there's such a hardness about it. So the application this morning would be this. Are you that soil? Have you had so many life trials and so many life struggles that you are just a hard heart? And as much as God's word tries to pound its way through and make a seed grow something, it's almost impossible because it's hard soil. Things don't grow on hard soil. So I want you to think about this story that Jesus is telling, and he's saying, listen, the seed, you know, the seed, some of it fell on this rock, on this hard soil, and the birds got a lunch out of it, but nothing happened with it. No fruit was produced because of it. No vegetables were grown because of it. And I watch people, and I'm a people watcher. I don't go to Rehoboth Beach to sit on the beach much, but when I do, I watch people. It's my favorite thing to do. I'm just a people watcher. Michelle goes shopping. I'm like, show me the nearest bench to where you're shopping, and I'll sit out there, and I'll watch people all day long. Can I tell you what I've seen throughout the years of doing that? Some really hurting people. That the seed is trying to do something in. And it's just bouncing off. The word's not making impact. And it's not because the word is the problem. The soil is the problem. See, that's where people blame the Bible a lot today. Well, the Bible isn't really what it says it is because it makes no impact on my life. Well, how's your soil? Are you making an impact? Or are you just kind of living life and angry? So the application would be that if you are hard soil, you would become good soil, but we're going to talk about that a little later. And so here's the second soil that he talks about. The second soil is some fell on rocky places, it says in Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 5, Jesus says, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up and the plants were scorched, they withered because they had no call. They had no root. And so you'll see this first kind of soil. The past soil is down here on the ground, but this is the first kind of soil, and it's full of rocks. It's rocks that I found in the prayer garden and I stole it. I'll put them back afterwards. But, you know, and I put a little bit of dirt underneath them because in the Bible, in the commentaries that I was reading, what it was saying was Jesus is speaking at a place where he can literally point these things out. And so he says, look at the rocky soil. And what it was it was a layer of rock. And I believe some translations got this wrong by what the commentaries are saying, because they said it was underlying rock. So what the picture was that I always got was that the rock was under the soil. That's not exactly true. Here's what was going on. The rock was above the soil, and the seed was falling in to the rock. But some of it was going into the soil. And so Jesus talks about this soil. And he was saying that this soil is rocky soil. And so some seeds would go in and they would produce a fruit or a vegetable or whatever. And it would start to grow. But then because of the rocks being around it and it didn't really have any roots, it's withered. Just died. And so these are the people that hear the message and receive it with joy, but then the word has no roots, so the once joyful message is left behind. I wonder sometimes if my soil isn't rocky. Being saved at the age of 5, being in church since I was in my mother's womb, sometimes the joy of the message loses its joy. You have to be reminded over and over again of the hope that you have. And so this rocky soil is a soil where people once knew the joy of the message and they left it behind because trouble and persecution has this person spinning their wheels. The rocky soil, little soil, big rock. And so if you could picture this, if you could, you know, take every one of these rocks out and, you know, loss of a loved one, hurtful things said to me, abuse, addictions, struggles, and it's just more rocks. And so when God's word falls upon that, you know, it takes root and it starts to grow a little bit, but then more rocks come and We don't open the Word anymore. We don't learn from it anymore. Because why should I try, Pastor? You know, it's just more of these on top, and on top. So Jesus is saying, listen, there are those that have those issues too. Trouble and persecution comes and we just forget that the Word is even in existence. We give up. Throw in the towel. Let the waves take us. Then he goes on to a third kind of soil. And here's the third kind of soil. It says it's a thorny soil. Thorny soil. Here's what it says in verse 7. Other seeds fell among thorns which grew up and choked the plants. And so I got to be careful touching this one because last night I touched this thing and dirt just flew everywhere. So I had to clean it up. But these are thorns. And so when the farmer would come along and he would throw the seed in here, sure, they would grow. Problem is that once they got to about this tall, it would choke them to death. And Jesus shows this illustration. And you know, most of these guys and women that are listening are very familiar of the farm. And so they're hearing this story and they're going, oh, yeah. I've watched that happen in my fields where the thorns have choked something to death. And so the thorny soil is the people, the man who hears the word or the man or woman who hear the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of getting ahead chokes out the word, which of course kills it and makes it of no use or unfruitful. And so you hear the word and then, you know, it's kind of, this is a Sunday morning, thorny soil can be a Sunday morning syndrome. And why do I say that? Because you hear the word, you get excited about the word, you go out of here and you're saying, man, that was, at least a decent message. And you know, I'm challenged and I'm growing and I want to grow. And then you walk out and the worries of the world choke the daylights out of everything you heard today. And so the thorns are a dangerous thing. And so in other words, when we begin to plant the Word of God, we have to deal with some things. And so before I move on to the fourth and final soil, I want to kind of sit here for a minute and say, in order to plant good seeds, we have to get rid of the rock. They all got to go. And sometimes those rocks can go in one day. Sometimes those rocks take a year. Sometimes those rocks take 2 years. I don't want you to focus on the amount of time that it takes to get rid of them. Here's what I want you to focus on. That you're making a move towards getting rid of them. That you're actually concerned that these rocks could be keeping you from the Word of God and are not allowing things to grow up in you and are not allowing encouragement to sit in you. Number two is you got to get rid of the thorns. I'm going to try not to shoot dirt everywhere. You got to get rid of the thorns. You got to get rid of those things that just when the Bible takes root and it starts to make fruitful impact in your life, it just gets choked out because you get so concerned about the worries of this world and the consequences of everything. And you get so focused on that you forget that there's a faithful God in Scripture that says, I got you. Your Love Defends Me is one of my favorite songs. And here's the line that touched me, and I had it written down in my teaching outline here this morning. And it touches me so deeply. When I feel all alone, you are there with me. Look, sometimes people say, you get up in front of crowds almost every day or almost every week, and you have all these people that want to talk to you and all these things. You don't get lonely. You want to bet. Sometimes the most loneliest spot is at the top. Sitting in your office saying, man, who do you talk to? What do I do? And so easily the thorns can come in, and God says, look, get rid of the thorns, Pastor Brett. Get rid of the rocks, all the damage that has been done. Do you know there's probably rocks in my life 15, 20 years ago? And God said to me this past week, you know, if you don't deal with the rocks, how do you expect the seed to grow? It can't. It just can't. And if it does grow, it's going to be weeds or something that you don't want. But that brings us to our last soil, and that's the good soil. And the good soil, Jesus says this, he says, still other seed fell on good soil. When it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Here's what he says. He comes to this good soil. It's free of rocks, as I pull a rock out, as I'm showing you. It's free of rocks. It's beautiful soil. If you want any of this soil, there's a big pile of it back here. That's where I got it from. And you throw it nicely on there. You put a little dirt over top of it. You water it. And you get whatever you planted. And Jesus says, these are the men, these are the women who hear the word of God and understand it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown, which is an unusual productive harvest. I want you to get what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, you don't just pull out one or two blades of grass when you plant like this. You don't just get one watermelon when you plant like this. These kind of people, these people who grasp the Word of God, who understand what the Word of God is talking about, who grasp it in their hearts, who have good soil, who are already tilled and ready to go, these kind of people know they produce 100 times over what they should produce. So in other words, if 30 seeds fall in there, they produce 70 plants. They produce 80 plants. They produce over what they should ever produce. It's unusual for this to happen. The farmers of the day would be sitting there looking at Jesus with their mouths wide open. What are you talking about? That doesn't happen, Jesus. You don't plant 3 seeds and get 20 plants. Oh, in the kingdom of God it does, is what Jesus is saying. In the kingdom of God, when you listen to the word, when you take the word serious, when the words are more than words, you produce more than you ever should. Ever should. You. Not the next guy. That's why I told you, don't think of your connection group. Don't think of your spouse this morning or anyone sitting around you this morning. Think of yourself. If just you focus on the word, Jesus is saying here, and you are the good soil, and you begin to allow that seed to take root, it will take root bigger than you will ever imagine. That's why the Bible says God can do more than we can even ask or imagine. That's what made Noah build a boat when there was no rain. That's what made David think he could go against a 9-foot giant that could whoop his rear end anytime, any place, any day with a couple of little stones and a slingshot. because they understood that when you understand the Word of God and you understand who God is, you can have anything you ask and beyond what you imagine. Now, this is not to say a prosperity gospel. You know, I heard my pastors preach like this when I was a kid, and I used to think to myself, when I'm 16, I'm asking my God for a cherry red Porsche. I never got the cherry red Porsche. Does that mean cherry red Porsche, cherry wood, cherry red Porsche? Does that mean that God isn't true to his word? No, it means that he knows that a 16-year-old with a cherry red Porsche was probably going to wrap it around a tree and kill himself. And so he did not give me the desires of my heart. But the reality is that when you're good soil, when you are soil watered and tilled and ready to go, boy, when he starts throwing that seed, things start to plant. And the farmers are like, no, wait, 60 times more? No, that doesn't happen, Jesus. And what does he say? He says 60, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times. And he starts with the highest number, and some believe that's for a little bit of a shock value. 100 times more than what you planted. So if you plant one plant, you got 100 plants. Wait a second. And then he says 60 times more. And then he says 30 times more. But what's the clause that is in the whole thing? It's listening and being ready. Like, this isn't ready. This is not ready. This is ready. And so what Jesus is saying here is, he's saying, let's get ready. Look, if you hear nothing else during this whole sermon series, I want you to hear this. If you're not taking part in this, you're missing something. Like, you can say what you want about other things and be opinionated about other things, but when it comes down to this, like, no one knows everything about this. I've sat in some of the best Sunday school teachers in the world, I believe. I've sat with some of the best teachers in the world. I've sat under some of the best pastors in the world. And I've heard each of them admit, just when I think I have it licked, another curveball comes. I have to restudy, I have to relook, I have to reapply. And so the goal is to get to the good soil. And so the next question is this: so what makes the difference in the soils? Here's the answer to that question. It's our allowing the farmer to prepare our hearts and lives. I want you to get that. Like, if he's not allowed to till us up, and if he's not allowed to make this dirt smooth and nice and get rid of the stones, why do we expect him to do something over here when we're not even willing to let him do something here? That's what Jesus is driving at here. He's saying, look, this soil was not tended to by a farmer per se. The farmer just hoped it would grow. This soil was just another hope and a prayer. Just throw the soil, throw the seed in there, and do whatever you want to do. But when you come to the good soil, some work had to be done to get to the good soil. Like, you just don't go out in a field and say, okay, well, this field's ready. I didn't do any work to it, but it's ready to go. Like, I wouldn't go out in the middle of my backyard right now that's beautiful grass and say, I'm going to plant a garden here and just hope it works. I'm just going to put a watermelon seed right there on top of the grass and hope it grows. If I did that and I told you all about that, you would say, well, Pastor, you got to at least dig a hole. No, I'm just going to let it plant. I'm going to plant it on top of the grass, and I'm going to hope and pray. No, you got to toil. You got to till. You got to bring the nutrients to the top so that the seeds can grab a hold and grow. And this is the part I missed. I did papers on this parable in seminary. I did papers in Bible college on this very parable, and I missed it. We have to be willing to let God take the stones and the thorns and put them away. But Pastor, do you understand the deep hurt that's in these stones? Oh, I get it, because I have them. So God has to begin to toil and till and get rid of the stones. Like, we filled in some of these flower beds with dirt so that they were level. And like, the kids were very concerned. This is where this came from, actually. This stone is from that dirt pile back there. That would have been in the flower bed had the kids not thrown it out. Now, do you think those flowers would grow on this stone? No. So they had to work through and see what was stone and what was dirt, and they had to throw the stone out. Let me tell you what they would have rather done. I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt. I don't even have to talk to them, and some of them aren't even here, and I can tell you what they would say. They would have rather just thrown this in there and threw some dirt on top of it and gave it a prayer. Because why? Because it's easier. Pastor, do I really have to dig through this dirt to get all this stones? Yes, you do. Why? Because if you don't, we're going to have problems in a couple of weeks. And so I wonder how many times we come to God and we say, God, I don't understand why your word isn't taking root. I don't understand why I don't get into your word all week long. I don't understand why it's not exciting to me. I don't understand why it doesn't jump off the page to me. I don't understand all these things. And God says, have you dealt with the stones? Have you let me pull the thorns out? Or is it just a hope and a prayer? In verse 9, Jesus says these words, whoever has ears, let them hear. Now, Jesus was not suggesting that this is a wild and crazy translation that some people think. He was not suggesting that some people did not have ears in the crowd. Most likely, everybody had ears. But here's the difference between the person that Jesus is talking about and the person who he's not talking about. Jesus is asking these people, and he's saying, whoever has spiritual ears, let them hear. And so what he's saying is that if you have spiritual ears, if you're in tune with eternity, if you're in tune with my Father's will for this, with this on this earth, if you're in tune with what God wills for everything that is happening in this earth, if you're in tune with the Word of God, then have ears and hear what I'm saying. That's what Jesus is saying. He's not saying if you have ears like I have ears this morning. He's not saying if you have ears like you have ears this morning. No, he's saying if you're in tune spiritually, get it. Understand that this is not going to grow. This is not going to grow. This is going to grow. And how do we get there? How do I get from this to this? How do I get from this to this? How do I do that? Because, Pastor, I'm listening to you, and maybe I do have stones, and I'm sitting here thinking to myself, I need to deal with those stones. I need to get rid of those stones. I have some anger issues from past things. I have some things that you're kind of drawing up, and I'm very sorry about that, but when the Holy Spirit works, he has to work, and I'm not going to get in his way. Second of all is the thorns. The thorns. You know, I can see it, Pastor. I get so concerned about the world that I forget that there's a God who has been faithful throughout the years. Debbie prayed that this morning. I forget that there's a God that's been faithful throughout the years, that he's seen me through so many storms before, that I just kind of walk away from his will, I walk away from his word, and this becomes a thing that sits on my table at home so that people think I'm spiritual when they walk into my house, instead of something that I actually dive into. Pastor, I hear what you're saying, and I need to get to good soil. So how do I do it? You're not going to like my answer. I'm going to tell you that right now. Because it's work. And here it is. Put it up on the screen. Prayer. Ian Bounds says in his book, one of his books, I don't even know which book it was. He has like 36 books out, and I was reading the book about all the books. So I'm not sure which book it is, but he says, in the book that I was reading, E.M. Bounds says, you want to get from rocky soil to thorny soil, or to good soil. You want to get to thorny soil, from thorny soil to good soil. You want to get from path soil that's being stepped on to good soil. The only way you can do it is through your prayer life. That's it. Pastor, there's another way because, like, my prayer life, it's not really that good. No, there's no other way. Prayer. That's it. If you don't have prayer, what's being said here is that if you don't have prayer, these are always going to win, the thorns and the rocks. They're always going to win. Because you have to have prayer time to be able to say, Lord, set aside those things that I'm struggling with. Set aside those things in this world that thorn out every growth that you have. Set them aside so that I can focus on you this morning, so that I can listen to your word, so that I can let your word pop off the page and touch my heart where it needs to touch it. Lord, get rid of these stones in my heart. I know I'm struggling with things. I know I'm still holding on to things from years ago. Would you allow it to move? Would you allow this stone to move? Would you do what you did on Resurrection Sunday? Would you literally use the power of Resurrection Sunday? And like I said last Easter, and Gary said this past Wednesday, what's the word that we call in power of resurrection? It's the word we get dynamite from. Would you take dynamite to my rocks, God? Would you blow them to smithereens so that I don't hold on to that hurt and that pain? And it stops me from learning this and engulfing myself in this. When I'm focused on all the pain and the hurt, I don't go to this. When I'm focused on all the pain and the hurt, it becomes a thorny ground and rocky ground. And sure, it grows. And then 3 weeks from then, it's dead. You want to know how you know if you're struggling in this wave of soils? I'll tell you a very quick teachable lesson. And I'm telling you, it touched my heart this week. And I do not say anything that I am not struggling with today. If your faith is like the super duper looper at Hershey Park, you're struggling. Right here. Because what happens is it grows, sun hits, it dies. Grows, thorns come in, it dies. However, if your faith is a little bumpy, but continues to go, you're where you need to be. And I do not say that with an ounce of judgment. Because I got to tell you, sometimes mine's worse than the super duper looper. I grow, I die. I grow, I get choked out, I die. When do we just grow? And produce and grow and produce and grow and produce. So Jesus tells this to a crowd of people. And he points them out. You know, there's a belief that he was probably able to say, look over there, there's stony ground. Nothing's growing over there. And if it does, it grows for a week and it dies. Over there, there's thorny ground. And here's what happens with thorny ground. It grows, but then it gets choked out of life because the thorns grab a hold of it because they get so concerned about the world. And I want you to think about who's in the crowd at this point. If you're feeling a bit of a tinge that, you know, Pastor, are you talking about me this morning? I want you to think about who's in the crowd. Peter's in the crowd. I want to take you back to a very important part of Peter's life. Peter's on the boat. He comes out into the water, and he starts to walk in that water, and he says, what? He starts to drown. Why does Peter start to drown in that water? Because he gets focused on everything around him. You could say that Peter was stuck in thorny or rocky ground because he got focused on it. And so Jesus is telling this story right in front of his disciples that have walked through every one of these soils. And he's telling that story to us today because he realizes that in a church of any size, there's got to be people that have rocky soil, there's got to be people that have thorny soil, and there's going to be people that have good soil. And don't you dare get so arrogant and so cocky, let me clear this, to believe that just because you're in good soil today that you're going to be in good soil tomorrow. It takes work to stay in good soil. Like the youth group redid all the flower beds, great and wonderful. If we don't take care of them from this point forward, do you think weeds are just going to say, hey, the youth group took care of them, let's not grow in here today? No. And that's exactly what's going on in our world. We must go into our garden, our spiritual garden, and we must begin to say, well, that's a weed, that's poison ivy, that's whatever. I got to pull that out. There's a stone that got in there somehow. How did that stone get in there? I don't know, but Lord, you need to deal with that. There's a thorn that's starting to grow. I need to pull that out before it starts sucking life out of me, and it does not allow me to get into the Word together, or into the Word with in my private time, in my devotional time. And so we got to continually work the soil, or we'll fall right back into these two soils that Jesus talks about in this parable in Matthew chapter 13. And part of the work is honestly, and they took my mirror from me because they had to go on vacation, Chris and Ralph. And part of the work that is due in this time to look for the good soil is looking in the mirror. He's saying, Lord, am I unduly upset about something? Lord, do I have thorns in my life? Is there something that I think I need to be in control of and it's out of control and I just can't trust you with it? Sometimes I have to remind myself that God's in control ultimately. Because thorns take over. God's in control. Look, I can do what I need to do. I can be passionate. I can be faithful to the cause. But God is ultimately in control. And if we don't pray and we don't seek the Lord's heart, we will be tempted to fall into stony soil, thorny soil, or worse, will be the path soil that gets stepped on all the time. And Satan has a heyday with that. People say things like Satan wants to do this and Satan wants to do that. I'll tell you what Satan wants to do. He wants us to become so turned off by the word that it makes no impact in our world. That's his goal. I don't need the word. I can do this on my own. I don't need the word. I can do this. I don't need the word. I can do this. I don't need to study the Bible. I can do this. I don't need to get into the word. I can do this. I don't need to do this. I don't need to do this. I don't need to do this. And before you know it, he has us right where he has us because we are stepping paths. And he's just coming down and eating the seeds. Where are you this morning? Your rocky soil, thorny soil, don't answer it out loud. Good soil. And what do you need to do to get from here to here to here to here to here to here? Here's what you need to do. You need to start by asking the Lord, what do I do to get into good soil? And I know it's going to be hard work, Lord. And I know I'm already tired. But I need to do it so that I can understand the word. So that I can pursue the word. So that I can love the word. One last tidbit of information about this whole thing, and I'm going to end in prayer. When Jesus comes out in verse 8 and he says about the good soil, it was interesting to me, so I looked it up, and I want to go back to that just one second. You don't have to go back to it, I'll go back to it. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 160 times. I looked up that word produced in the Greek. Because I had a hunch. I just got done preaching this sermon last week about how if we just hear and we don't do, we don't respond to the word. You can't just hear the word and not do the word. You got to hear and do. And so I looked up the word produced because I had a hunch in my little brain that I thought to myself, maybe that's something to do with what I just preached on last week. And you know what it says in the scripture passage? It says it is a constant action. And it goes on to say in the commentary that the constant action of being produced is that you are actually taking the word that is falling, the seed, the word that is falling on good soil, and it's actually planting and producing. So in other words, what Jesus is saying is not in contrary to what James is saying, but what Jesus is saying in a much nicer term and in a much nicer way in the parable is this. If you want to produce this, you have to hear this and actually do this in order to produce this. Whoa. I was blown away. Had a hunch, but I didn't think it. I mean, I have hunches all the time that are wrong. And then God brought it to me. You want to produce this, you got to do this. And not just hear this. And I've stopped right there every week when I say this. Not today. That means you got to do this when you're upset. You got to do this when you're frustrated. Like, he has a plan for everything in here. He says, pastors, if your church is dealing with this, this is what you do. And you say, he doesn't say it that clearly. Oh, you're right, he doesn't say that clearly. But he says it. And then he says, if you yourself, pastor, struggle with this, how to deal with this situation, this is how you do it. I tell you that I believe that most times when we get ourselves in trouble, and I don't mean we, I mean universally we as the evangelical church, as the evangelical congregational church across this land and in other countries, where we get ourselves in trouble is when we don't listen to what he says. That's it. He tells us what to do. You know, someone talked to me on Wednesday night after the thing, and, you know, it was kind of like, you know, Pastor, I've heard this stuff before, but it kind of just jumped out of the page. And I made the comment to that person, and I'm not knocking anybody. I made the comment to the person, it's true. It's true you've heard this stuff before because it's in here. It's just that churches have decided that they're going to do it their way, and who cares what he has to say. And so what I believe strongly we need to be called back to this. Specifically in Acts chapter 2. To want to have fellowship with one another. To want to join in reaching this community together. To want to worship together. To desire to grow spiritually and numerically. To watch the Holy Spirit work in a whole new way. That's the desire of his heart. And what I've done sometimes is I picked up books by Andy Stanley and Rick Warren and blah, 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 blah. The list goes on. And I've forgotten it. He says something. It's not about what they say. You should come to the office sometime. You should. You should come visit me sometime, but I will show you someday. In fact, maybe I'll start saving them and I'll bring them in some Sunday. I probably get a pile like this tall. Want to grow your church in three simple ways? From 30 different people during the week. And none of them mention this. Is it any wonder why we're on hard soil or thorny soil? I hope you'll pray. What's the goal out of this message, Pastor? That just one person who may not be breaking open this thing begins to break it open. Begins to look at themselves and begins to say, I can't live in rocky soil. I can't live in thorny soil anymore. I have to be the good soil. And I'm willing to put in the work, Lord. I'm willing, as the last song says, and we're going to pray in just a minute here, to allow you to have your own way. Have your own way. Whatever that looks like. Let's close in a word of prayer together. Father God, the seed was not the issue. The farmer was not the issue. The soil was the issue. And so, Lord, in a group this size, I know that there are those that hear my voice that are in rocky soil right now. But here's what I want them to walk away with. Not a conviction of judgment from their pastor. I want them to walk away with the encouragement that they don't have to stay in rocky soil. And then, Lord, there are those in thorny soils. They have issues that they're dealing with that I can't even imagine. I pray with them on the phone and I feel so weak because I don't even know, or pray with them in a hospital room or whatever. I don't even know what to say. And Lord, they have thorns in their lives that when you start to produce fruit in their lives, Satan comes in and others come in and they choke it out and they kill it. And I want them to walk out encouraged today that they don't have to stay in that thorny soil. Lord, some of us have such hard hearts at times because we've been through so much in life. And I understand that. I haven't even been here for as long as some have been. And Lord, they've seen so much and they've been hurt so much. But I want them to know today, Lord, they don't have to stay as path soil. All of us can strive to be good soil. Soil that grasps the word of God. Soil that produces fruit and vegetables. Soil that loves you and loves the world around us. And Lord, I pray that that's what Faith Church would be. Good soil. We're not going to stay there. Because left to ourselves, we're going to always want to go back into thorny soil and rocky soil and path soil. So Lord, we ask you to allow our focus to be on you. And like Peter, unlike Peter, when we get out of the water and we get out of those comfort zones that we're in and we begin to walk, may we not focus on the waves around us, the situations around us. May we just simply focus on the Savior, the one who gives hope in hopeless times, the one who gives life to each of us. It's not easy, Lord. We're constantly being barraged with other messages. And I just ask for this group of people that sit before me today and for me myself, that we would keep hearing the message of hope. And we would have the joy we once had. You would instill in us a flame to go out there and reach people for you. Because we are good soil. And we'll be careful to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. Amen. Let's stand and sing this song like we mean it this morning. Have thine own way, Lord. Have it in me. Have it in my heart. Open me up so that I can be good soil, hearing your word and letting it produce.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope it encouraged you in your walk with Christ. You can find out more about Faith Church at wearefaithec.com.